As I began to discuss earlier today, the Borei Olam worked it out this year, Tisha B'Av Shecholeis B'Shabbos, that there's less avelus than there would normally be. Obviously, the main day of Tisha B'Av was today, the regular Shabbos, full-fledged Shabbos. Even Shalosh Shudas, as we discussed, Malak Esudu Shlomo B'Shaita. And then we're left with fasting on Asiri Bav, and we have many kulas because it's a Nidcha. So I want to discuss a little bit the uniqueness of Tisha B'Av Shecholeis B'Shabbos. Obviously, if we need a little less avelus, there has to be a svara. Why is there less avelus? And I think if we focus in a little bit why there's less avelus, we may be able to get rid of the avelus completely. One of the biggest pleas about Tisha B'Av in general is really the whole idea that the day is a contradiction. On the one hand, Tisha B'Av is the saddest day of the year. What I find most painful is I can't even say Shalom Aleichem to people. It's very hard to see Yidden, not to be able to say proper greeting. Everybody's Avelim. Some degree we're Oinonim, even worse than Avelim. At the same time, the Navi, and we read it in Eicha, the Navi calls Tisha B'Av a Yom Moed, Kol Alei Moed. It's a Yom Tov. Actually a Yom Tov. How and what level could we grasp that it's a Yom Tov? There's nothing about it that smells like a Yom Tov. So you may think it's a projection for the future, it's going to be a Yom Tov. As the Novi says, it's Yeh L'Sosan L'Simcha. But we see in Halacha that there are dinim that are there because it's actually a Moed. We don't say Tachnun. We didn't say Tzivkos Chobay Mincha. Because Yom Tov, it's Yom Tov. No Tachnun als Moed. How could it be a Moed? How could it be a Moed now because of what's going to be in the future? The same question that comes to mind is the post-Tisha B'Av feeling. Some of it may be we overdo, you know, that we right after Tisha B'Av, everybody's in full swing. Most of the shilas I got before Shabbos was about what things are mutter ready, mutter the fast this year because it's Asiri B'Av. I got a bunch of shilas about what people ought to do on Tisha B'Av. So we're very cloudy, so we're very much into the post Tisha B'Av, letting loose. Shabbos Nachmu is the most profitable weekend for people that are in that line of work, that line of business, entertainers, people that run hotel programs. And the obvious question is, what's the big nechama? Shabbos Nachamu. Every week we have, it's already scheduled. If you open up the magazines and the newspapers, it's already scheduled, Shabbos Nachamu. People already have plans what they're doing, Shabbos Nachamu. It's a stickle pella. You're holding an Erev Tisha B'Av. You're making plans for Shabbos Nachamu. You're advertising what you're going to do, what's available Shabbos Nachamu. You're holding Erev Avelus. You're going into Avelus. Imagine, just try to envision that Rachmana Lislan, a person loses a relative. They have a din of an oinim. And the reason why they have a halach of oinim is because they have to be involved in the halachas of kvura. They have to take care of the mace, whether it's the burial and the espedim and all the kavra mace. In fact, la halacha, if somebody is not going to a Levaya, right, a relative dies in another location where they're not even participating, they immediately become Avelim. There's no at all stage of Aninus. Because Aninus is there strictly for the purpose of preparing Kovar HaMeis, Gvura Ukadema. Imagine somebody is sitting there with the Chevra Kadisha, and they're working out the details of the burial. Rahman al-Islam, I have to do that with people more often than I would like. Imagine what I would say to somebody if while they're busy arranging the Levaya, they would then, at the same conversation, talk to me about a vacation plan to Hawaii. I would think there's something wrong. It's not a question, I would think it's inappropriate. I would think there's something wrong with the person. The person's sitting there, Mesa Mutal Lefanov, and they're talking to me about traveling plans to Hawaii. But we don't have a contradiction that we could be holding Erev Tisha B'Av Mesa Mutal Lefanov. Right? We have a din of oinonim. And we're sitting there, we have a Shabbos Nachmu planned already. It's not something later on we go to, you know, we speak to a social worker and they bring us to the level that we're ready to have a normal Shabbos. We're sitting before Tisha B'Av making plans. So part of it maybe, like I said, is exaggerated by us and we shouldn't be doing it. On the other hand, Chazal tells us, Nuchamu B'Keflayim. The Navi wants to console us. But what's the Nechama? It's still Mesa Mutal Lefanov, we're still in a state of mourning. What's the Nechama? Even the Haftaris that we read, we have only three Haftaris of negative. Right? Then we have Shiva the Nechamta. Then we have seven Haftaris that are consolation. What's a Shiva de Nechamta? We're still in Avelos. What are we busy with the Nechama? But again, it's all rooted in Chazal. And it's rooted in the Novi. Korale Moed. There's even a more deeper Kabbalistic idea. It's already found in the B'nai Yisochar, and it's Merumas in the Maal Shah. That the 22 days that we have of Avelos for the Chum Beis HaMikdash correlate with what we would say is our best time of the year. And that's the month of Tishrei. And the 21 days of Avelos that we have until Tisha B'Av are the 21 days from Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, starting with Rosh Hashanah, going until the last day of Sukkot. And then Tisha B'Av alone, the 22nd day, correlates with Shemini Atzeres. And that's the correlation between these 2 months. That's the Korale Moyet. There's a Medrash that says, Rashi brings down, Eish Livkois is Tisha B'Av. The Eish L'Smoyach, so one Chazal says, Losed Lover, and the other one says, Eish L'Smoyach, Pesimchas Torah, on Shemini Atzeres. In fact, the Kriyas HaTorah that we read on Tisha B'Av has the psukim that we say when we take out the Sefer Torah about our kofes. Atorei Selodas. We read it on Tisha B'Av. And it seems like, how do we put these two things together? How do we put together the saddest possible time and the biggest joy? There's no bigger joy than Simchas Torah, Shemini Atzeres, Chodesh Tishrei. There's no bigger simcha than that. How could the Svarim HaKadoshim make any analogy between these two times? We're talking to Chaim earlier today about the union of the Kruvim, that we know there are two stages of the Kruvim. Pnei Mishal Reyehu, when the Kruvim are facing each other. So it's Bizman Shisrael Oysim Utsani Shamak. It's when the Yidna doing the Ratzon of Hashem, we had a sign that the Kruvim on top of the Horon would be facing each other. Bizman She'en Yisrael Oysim Etzein Yishol Mokam. So then the Pneim was Alahechol. They wouldn't be facing each other. The Gemara comes in Yuma. That's what the Gemara says in Bava Basra. The Gemara comes in Yuma, and the Gemara says that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Motzuas HaKruvim Urim Zeh B'Zeh, the Kruvim were more connected than they were even B'Zman Sheyisrael Oysem Matzayin Yishamok. They were like hugging each other. Urim Zeh B'Zeh. So the Achroinim, everybody discusses this. Actually, Shita Mekubetzes and Bava Basra brings down the Kasha, the Chimigash. How could it be that at the time of the Chub, the Kruvim would be more connected than they are when we're doing Ratzon Shel Mokom? How does that work? What's the pshat in that? So I'll tell you what I think we could say here to have a little bit of an understanding. And it touches upon the second plea that I always bring out to you when we go into Tisha B'Av. Because everybody is busy looking for ways to be misab. Everybody looks for different ways to inspire themselves to be misabel in Beis HaMikdash. You know, Yankif Emden says a very scary thing. Yankif Emden, in his Siddur, he says that the old tzaras that we have, which we know Chazal say all the tzaras are rooted in the Chum, he says all the tzaras that we have and the length of the golos is worthy, it's coming to us just based on the fact that we're not misabel on the Beis HaMikdash. Forget any other new averus. That alone, he says, there's the Yavetz. That alone, that we don't properly mourn over the Beis HaMikdash, is sufficient reason. If we had everything else was in place, and we were just missing that we're not mourning over the Beis HaMikdash properly, that's enough of a chet. But yet, as we struggle every year with the same idea, is how does one mourn over the Beis HaMikdash? It's almost unrealistic that somebody should mourn over the Beis HaMikdash. My children ask me every year before Tisha B'Av, Ta, what should we do? How should we feel the Chum? What do you do? What should we read? What should we? How do you feel the Chum? How do you feel the Chum? The Zubin HaMagid always used to say that when it says Kol HaMisabal Yerushalayim Zeicha V'Roya B'Simchasa, if you mourn over the Beis HaMikdash, you'll see it's rejoicing. He said that the Avelus will develop within you. It almost works together. Your attempt to be misabel will develop in you that feeling. It's almost the external will bring to the internal. But even externally, to mourn over something that you have no grasp of, never experienced, have no shaychus, no connection to it, how do you mourn over it? A mourn means you're mourning over a loss. How could you mourn over a loss that you never had? You never experienced it. How could you mourn over such a loss? But yet Chazal is saying it's an absolute obligation. And it's catastrophic if you don't mourn over the Beis HaMikdash. And l'chayr, much of the things that we do to try to stimulate the mourning over the Beis HaMikdash doesn't even really work. Person reads about the Holocaust, they read about tomorrow them to different things. It's almost a distraction. We look for things to distract joy. So we shouldn't be joyous. The truth is that joy is really a foundation of Avodas Hashem. So stam for somebody to look for ways to be unhappy is definitely not the Avodah of Tisha B'Av. Clearly not. The avoid of Tisha B'Av is not just to look for ways not to be happy. In fact, happiness is usually mashlim avoid of Hashem. It's mashlim avoid of Hashem. The only element of happiness that's contradictory with Tisha B'Av is in as much that the happiness is a distraction with thinking about the Beis HaMikdash. If somebody had a happy way that would inspire them to feel the Chum Beis HaMikdash, and that would also be appropriate. That would also be appropriate. So the happiness is almost not the point, the simcha. So looking on Tisha B'Av for different ways to feel sadness, in my opinion, is as much of a distraction as listening to a comedy, or somebody giving comics. It's the same thing. Because it's a distraction from what you're supposed to be thinking about. So you get your distraction is something that's sad. Maybe you could say it's more appropriate. You're not engaged in an inappropriate activity. But you're as much off base. So how does one mourn over Beis Hamikdash? And really these two nekudas, they go together. The Navi Amos, when the Navi Amos gives Tochacha to Klal Yisrael, he talks about the great Averis, the three big Averis, Kil Arayis, Rechaz Domem, the Zara, Al Shloisha Pishe Yisrael. And then he says, Va'al Arbo, there's a fourth one. And the fourth one is the most unforgiving sin. What's the fourth one? The fourth one was the mockery of the Nevi'im. The fact that we mocked the Nevi'im. Everybody asks, how could it be? I mean, of course, mocking the Navi is a terrible thing. But if you're already engaged in the worst averis possible, what does mocking the Navi make it worse? In what way does that change? Mocking the Navi, not mocking the Navi, what way does it change? The Bayis Sheni we know was Chorav over Simas Chinam. Chorav over Simas Chinam. It's a power. It's really bewildering that we're in the Churban today. Over 2,000 years, we're sitting in a Churban, and we still haven't fixed Simas Chinam. It's a power. It's from the world's biggest questions. How that is? How is that the case? How is it that we still have Arayim Azeh, we have Sinas Chinam? But perhaps, as big of a question as that is that why are we still in Golos because of Sinas Chinam? We got enough of a patch. The Bayis Rishon, the Gemara says in Yuma, we did all the three big Averis. We got a patch, Hashem gave us a frask. We got a 70-year golus. And then we were let out. The Bayis Sheni, Oiskim B'Toyra, Avoyda, Gmils Chazodim. The second Beis Hamikdash, we weren't so bad. It's in Aschinim. Rabbanu Shel Olam, even if we didn't fix it, we got a patch. We got enough of a patch. L'chor, we got enough of a patch. Look, every day the tzoras that Klal Yisrael have. We have enough. Dayenu. Why are we still in Golos? Why are we still here? If 70 years was able to be mechaper for the three biggest averis, can't 2,000 plus years of persecutions and murder and sicknesses and wars, isn't that enough to be mechaper for whatever sinas chinam, whatever the avera of sinas chinam is? It's not even clear what the Aver is. It's a bitl. Mechor, it's a bitl mitzvah saseh. It's not even clear what the Aver is. Sinas Chinam. Maybe there should be a whole new movement. Sinas Chinam is not an Aver. Huh? So I'll tell you what I think is the meaning behind this. The month of Av, we know, commemorates the Mis of Aaron HaKohen. Mis of Aaron HaKohen. We know that when Aaron HaKohen died, so there was an element of Gans Klal Yisrael were part of that Avelis. It says three times, Kol Eidah. Moshe went up to Har, Eine Kol Eidah. By Yosef Aaron, Leine Kol Eidah. And then it says, Vayifku Oisei Kol Eidah. The whole Klal Yisrael were part of Aaron HaKohen's demise. Right after Aaron HaKohen dies, Amalek comes back. Our arch enemy comes back. So Chazal tell us, Rashi brings it down. What stimulated Amalek to come back? Amalek already had a defeat. They tried. Right after we came out of Mitzrayim, they tried. They were clearly, decisively defeated. What made them come back again? We weren't any weaker. We had a track record, a winning track record now. Why are they coming back again? What are they trying? So Rashi brings down a Chazal that Amalek heard that Aaron HaKohen died. Amalek heard that Aaron died. That's what made Amalek come back. And Rashi says, Amalek heard that Aaron HaKohen died, and so what? Aaron HaKohen, by the way, wasn't the one that defeated them. It was Yeshua Ben Nun and Moshe Rabbeinu. So big deal. So Aaron HaKohen died. Says the Medrash, Rashi brings it down. And Amalek heard that we lost the Anani HaKovet. We lost those clouds. And Mamela, when they heard we lost the clouds, they came to fight clients. Question is, the victory that we had from Amalek the first time around had nothing to do with the clouds. It was a war. And Yeshua ben Nun with his sword, they killed that Amalek. So why is Amalek thinking now that we don't have Anani HaKovet, which protected us from the Choshen, Vakravim, whatever else that it protected us from? Why now does Amalek come back? Because the Anani HaKovet. Obviously, the Anani HaKovet was symbolic of something else. It wasn't that Amalek was afraid of the Anani HaKovet. When they saw that the Anani HaKovet didn't come back, they went away, they said, oh. And what's interesting also is that the Mayim, the water we got in the Schus of Miriam, that also left us. But that came back. The Schus of Moshe, the water came back. Somehow the Anani HaKovet couldn't come back. Only Aaron HaKohen was able to bring the Anani HaKovet. Why was only Aaron HaKohen able to bring that Anani HaKovet? So the idea that's being conveyed to us in Chazal is a point that I often try to bring out throughout the year. The correlation and the connection between Emunah and Ben Adam L'Chaver. We tend to think that these are two separate mitzvahs that have no connection. Not just two separate mitzvahs, two separate categories. There's Ben Adam L'Chaver and there's Ben Adam L'Makom. These are two different things. You could have a person who's quite perfect in Ben Adam L'Makom, but Ben Adam L'Chaver, he's not perfect. Or the other way around. The two could be independent of each other. Happens to be, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is not happy with us when we don't have Achdus. That's a side issue. Hashem likes when we have Achdus. But the Etzem, one can be a true Oyved Hashem, Ben Adam L'Makom, and his Ben Adam L'Chaver is terrible. The truth is that the two are completely integrated in totality. There isn't even one document of document. Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky Zatzal always used to speak out the Chinuch, the Sefer HaChinuch. He says, everything has a root. You always have to look at the shirish. You have to look at the root, where something comes from. What is the root of sinas chinam? Where does it come from? And the truth is that sinas chinam comes from lack of emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If somebody has wholesome emunah bitoch in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he believes that everything in his life, the positive things that he appreciates, the things that are less pleasurable, it's all from the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's all dictated by above. Your friends are not the ones who are giving you the pleasurable experiences. It's the Rabbeinu Shalom. Yes, your friends are shluchim. The people you love are shluchim to deliver those packages. And Rahman al-Islam, when you have things that are not pleasurable, those are also delivered by the Rabbeinu Shalom. Every single experience you have in life is delivered by the Rabbeinu Shalom. The whole concept of sinas chinam couldn't exist. Be'etzem, every Jew would love every single Jew. That's our natural instinct. That's how we should all be. Kulonu b'nei yishachar anach. Sinas chinam comes from kfir in HaKadosh Baruch. If somebody was really, really a maimon, it wouldn't be shaykh, there'd be no connection to Sinas Chinam. It's not possible to have Sinas Chinam. So Sinas Chinam is directly an outcome of that. Aaron HaKohen was the symbolic Oyev Yisrael. But where does it all come from? The Torah reveals it to us when Moshe becomes the leader of Klal Yisrael. And Aaron HaKohen becomes the champion of Matoiv U'Manoyim Shevis Achim Gam Yacht. How does he accomplish that, Aaron HaKohen? His younger brother, his kid brother, becomes the leader of Klal Yisrael. Aaron HaKohen was a Novi. He was a Novi before Moshe was born. As a kid, as a young boy, he was a Novi. And his younger brother, his kid brother, who was missing many years, brought up in Beis Parai, he becomes the leader of Klal Yisrael. He becomes the Mekabel Torah Mishmaya. It's really beyond human comprehension that Aaron HaKohen should not feel bad. So we tend to look at it as achdus. Toiv u'manoyim. There's a Mogen Avraham I tirelessly repeat to the Talmidim. Because the Torah says, v'roach or v'somach b'liboy, that when Aaron HaKohen saw his brother Moshe, when Moshe became the king of Klal Yisrael, he was happy. Somach b'liboy. He gave a shmeichel. That's very nice. But we all know that l'havdil alef havdalos, look in our world of politics. All the fights and the shmutz that they throw at each other. And it's all true. It's only a klipas hashmutz. There's much more shmutz. But l'maisa, once somebody wins, so the rival gets up and goes, yeah, I'm behind him and this and that. Mit alle feine shene zah. Even though, you know, there's sinner should be sinner. So the Torah tells us about Aaron HaKohen, he was different. He wasn't just diplomatic. He was v'samach b'libo, he was happy, he was really happy. That's the difference between Aaron HaKohen and everybody else. It's not like Aaron had a choice. The Rebbeinu Shel made Moshe the leader of Klal Yisrael. Aaron had nothing to say. Yeah? But not only did Aaron express happiness, he was happy. He was internally happy for his brother. The Mogen Avraham says, no, that's not. It's not just that. The Mogen Avraham says, v'samach b'liboy, Aaron HaKohen was happy in his heart. What does the Torah mean when it says tells us that Aaron HaKohen was happy in his heart? He was so happy for his brother that he could not even express it. Could you imagine? Not that it wasn't fake. That's not what the Torah is coming to tell us. Says the Mogen Avraham, Ma she'ein ha'peh yochol l'baris. Aaron was so happy that he couldn't even express how happy he was. I always tell the Talmidim, you go to a chasen by a chasen. You give him a smile, he gives you a smile. Is it the same smile? Of course not. You're very happy for your friend became a chasen, getting married. But he's in Gan Eden. He can't even show you how happy, what his face should crack. The face doesn't have the capacity to show how happy you are. What am I supposed to do? Rip my face open? The simcha's in the heart. The Mogen Avraham says that's Pshat and Aaron HaKohen. He was so happy for his brother that he wasn't even able to express it. The obvious question is, that sounds unrealistic. How could that be? Aaron HaKohen was human. It's the boss of a dumb. How could it be that Aaron HaKohen was beyond, he was happier than Moshe was? Doesn't say that about Moshe. The pshat is that Aaron HaKohen was the mamon. He was the epitome of belief. He epitomized emuna. He didn't look at Moshe as a rival. He looked at Moshe as his beloved brother. And now the leadership of Klal Yisrael has to happen. And this is what Hashem decided. And it's not me against him, and Moshe took it from me. It was only because of Aaron's spitz level of emunah b'tochen that it wasn't possible for there to be a personal issue here. So his achdus came from his emunah. That's why he was zeicher to be the Kohen Gadol. That's why, because of his spitz emunah. Amalek came to us because of two things. One is emunah. Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu imayin. Whether Hashem is with us or not. That's one reason why Amalek came. Mikra. Because we didn't really have real emunah. The second reason Amalek came to Klal Yisrael is the Gemara in Sanhedrin Sarites. The Gemara says because we were missing achdus. Simply, you learn these are two separate reasons Amalek came. No. It's all one and the same. Because once you're missing an emunah, your achdus is not the same. It can't be. So long that you perceive that you're surrounded by competitors, whether it's shidduchim, whether it's getting into a yeshiva, whether it's making money, whether if you're surrounded by competitors, as good of a person as you are, you can't have shleimus of achdus. The only way for you to perceive the world around you that's not competitors, the only way, is if you have real emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Absolute, unbending and unyielding emunah. Then, there is no competition. If there's no competition, there's only ava. There's only ava v'achva v'reis. That's why the Chet of Amalek was integrated between emunah and achdus, because it's all one. It's not two different reasons. It's one reason. One fed the other. The Baal Shem Tov explains in many places, based on the Medrash Chazal, that the Anani HaKovid was created by the breath of Klal Yisrael. The Medrash says Hashem took the what we breathed and He created a cloud. Baal Shem Tov says, what was the magic of the Anani HaKovid? Achdus. All of the breaths uniting created the Anani HaKovid. So Aaron HaKohen, who infused us with Avos Yisrael because of his emunah, Memeila the Anani HaKovid happened. Really, the Anani HaKovid was us. It was us being guided by Aaron HaKohen that created the cloud. When Amalek heard that Aaron HaKohen died and there's no cloud anymore, it means the Achdus is gone. If the Achdus is gone, it means the emunah is gone. If the emunah is gone, they knew they could prevail. That's why Aaron HaKohen, your site is an Av, because Aaron HaKohen's Misa symbolizes the death of Achdus of Klal Yisrael. Vayifku oise kol ha'ed, in a sense we could say, Vayifku oise, we cried that we didn't have kol ha'ed. We didn't have the kol ha'ed that we had when Aaron HaKohen was alive. Because of his ultimate emunah and bitachon. Rabbi Yankiv Zatzal always used to say that the elementary level of working on oneself is also based on emunah. Because every single thing that happens to you every day of your life is a reason for you to do tikkun. Everybody has yisurim, everybody has challenges. The Gemara says, you fast just for myself. Rabbi Yankov said, so what's the reason why people don't? He says, meloif to the doctor, meloif to the doctor. Why don't they work on themselves? Have you ever seen somebody just work on themselves? He said, because we're missing in our emunah. If we really believe that every challenge we have was directed back at Hashem, then emunah would be 100%. The emunah would be 100%. Rabbi Yisai, Beis HaMikdash, is nothing more than like the Anani HaKovid that we had when Aaron HaKohen was alive. The Avelus that we have over the Beis HaMikdash is not the Beis HaMikdash. It's the Kol Beis Yisrael. The mourning that we have over the Beis HaMikdash is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is our emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we're really mourning is the fact that we don't really believe. We end Megillas Eicha by saying, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha. Bring us to you. Let us believe. If we're all makabel that everything that happens is the Ratzon Hashem, then the name of Enoshuv, then we'll be Kol Beis Yisrael. We'll be Kol Beis Yisrael. That's what we're going to be. When the Nevi'im came, and the Nevi'im wanted to give us Musar, okay, and we didn't want to hear the Navi, that means that we weren't prepared to hear that what happens to us is based on our actions and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responding. That was the biggest chet. Al Arbor Lo Yeshivenu. If we would have been open to Emunah, then there wouldn't have had to be a Chur. That's what Amos HaNavi is teaching us. Not the fact that we mocked the Nevi'im was the problem. If a person has a growth in their brain and they go to a neurosurgeon, they have an appointment, they don't make a mockery out of the neurosurgeon. Because Chayiv Tluyim Bai. Because the person understands they have a brain tumor, they need the neurosurgeon. The fact that we mocked the Nevi'im was reflective that we didn't believe that we have a problem. That what happens to us is that takes off our actions. And says the Navi, that's where everything ended. The reason, Rabbi Sai, why we're still in Golos today is really because we don't wake up every day and believe that every single thing that happens to us is directly challenged and channeled by HaKadosh Baruch. Every challenge we have was given to us by HaKadosh Baruch. Every victory we have in life is given to us by HaKadosh Baruch. And if we really believed, that would be Kol Beis Yisrael. We would mainly have the Beis. Beis HaMikdash is just reflective. Beis HaMikdash is really the packaging around the gift. The gift is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch. That's the gift. And every Tisha B'Av we have another opportunity to go to the Navi and to say, we believe. We believe that the state we're in is because of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That alone is the greatest joy. That alone is a foundation to build a Beis HaMikdash. In a sense, Tisha B'Av is the happiest day of the year. If a person takes Tisha B'Av and they use it, and because of Tisha B'Av, they feel more connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Their emunah goes up by 1%. That's a Yom Tov. That's a Moed. You don't have to wait for the Beis HaMikdash to be built. That's the packaging. The Yom Tov is the belief. The Yom Tov is our emunah. The Avelus is the lack of our emunah. The Yom Tov is the completion of our emunah. And every step forward that we take in that level is a Yom Tov. The same Yom Tov, it's a taste of the Yom Tov we're going to have in the Gula Shlema, we can have every single year. And that's why there's a correlation between Shmini Atzeres and Tisha B'Av. Shmini Atzeres is there, it's a Suda Ketana that the king says, here, let me unite with you, let's be together, let's be united. It happens to be Shmini Atzeres, we accomplish that through having a Sukkah, and having a Rosh Hashanah, and having Yom Kippur. And Tisha B'Av, we have it through having a Tisha B'Av. They're just different means of trying to accomplish the same task, which is Emunah, which is having that kind of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where there's no questions. And my boy said, I guarantee you, if you work on this, your Avos Yisrael is going to go up. This is the direct route. Trying to fix Avos Yisrael without this is like trying to put a Band-Aid on. And it doesn't stick. You know, Band-Aid, no matter how good they are, they fall. It doesn't stick. When you're fixing your Emunah, you're fixing the blemish. You're fixing what the cause of it is. And if all of you be brutally honest with yourselves, you'll see it. That if you really, really believed, Alts kum von HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there'd be no mokum for tainus. There'd be no mokum for pirut. Rabbi said, we shtakul bizeicha b'mheira. Hashiveinu Hashem elecha v'noshuva chadish yomeinu kiked.